Chapter 13, Healthy Nerves, Eyes, and Kidneys. Selwyn was 58 years old when he heard we were looking for volunteers for a research study. Originally from Trinidad, he had been diagnosed with diabetes almost 20 years earlier. The disease had taken a toll on his eyes, and he was being treated for glaucoma. He also had terrible nerve pain. In the 18 months before the study began, the pain in his feet had gotten worse and worse. "It was excruciating," he said. "It hurt from the calves down, especially on the left side, and it worsened as the day wore on. By the time I got home from work, I just had to put my feet up. At night, the bottoms of my feet hurt terribly with burning and tingling." He had had several medical tests to search for a treatable cause, but his doctors were left with only diabetes to blame for his misery. Despite using insulin twice a day, his diabetes was not under good control. He began doing stretching exercises, which seemed to ease the pain somewhat. When our study began, he started a low-fat, vegan diet. It suited his tastes and had a remarkable effect on his diabetes. At the beginning of the study, his A1C was 9.1%, but his blood sugar began to fall soon after he made the switch to our eating plan. Within a month, he began to have episodes of low blood sugar, so his insulin doses were reduced. Despite the fact that he was taking less medication, his A1C at the three-month point was down to 7.7%. That was a big improvement, although he was not yet where he needed to be. About 6 months into the study, something remarkable happened. I noticed a drastic change. I had been in total pain, but the symptoms started going away, he said. As time went on, things got better and better. The pain became barely perceptible, and eventually, to his amazement, it disappeared altogether. I'm totally normal, he said. I have no pain at all anymore. If a medication could deliver the result he achieved, it would be a very popular one indeed. The difference has been like night and day for me, he said. A healthful diet does much more than keep your blood sugar down. It helps protect your whole body. If diabetes rages out of control, it can not only damage your heart, it can also attack your nerves, your eyes, and your kidneys. Happily, the diet you are now beginning will help you avoid these problems. In this chapter, we will look at how to keep all your body parts in good working order. Healthy nerves. People with diabetes are at risk of nerve damage, which can take two forms. Peripheral neuropathy, sometimes called sensory motor neuropathy, is damage to the nerves that allow you to feel things or to move your muscles. It leads to tingling, pain, numbness, or weakness in your feet or hands. It pays to take these signs seriously because although it can get better, it can also get a lot worse if you are not careful. Reduced sensation in your feet can leave you vulnerable to injuries that you cannot feel. It is easy to overlook a small cut or scrape when you do not feel it. Injuries can also be slow to heal, which can set you up for a festering infection. Diabetes is a common cause of amputation, something that should never happen with good care. Autonomic neuropathy is abnormalities in the nerves that control your internal functions. It can lead to digestive problems such as nausea, vomiting, constipation, or diarrhea. It can also cause problems with bladder control or sexual function. Other symptoms include dizziness, faintness, increased or decreased sweating, visual difficulties, for example, problems adjusting to light and dark conditions, and lack of awareness of the warning signs of low blood sugar. The key to preventing and treating neuropathy is to get your diabetes, particularly your blood glucose level, under control, starting with diet and exercise. If neuropathy has affected you, you will want to listen again to Chapter 4 and follow the diet guidelines to the letter, aiming for the best possible glucose control under the guidance of your doctor. If lifestyle changes do not do the whole job, there are medications that can help. That said, pharmaceuticals need not be your first stop. diet and exercise can be surprisingly powerful. At California's Weimer Institute of Health and Education, Milton Crane, MD, asked 21 diabetes patients with peripheral neuropathy to do two things: begin a low-fat vegan diet and take a daily 30-minute walk. The effects were rapid and very strong. Within 2 weeks, leg pains stopped completely in 17 of the participants, and the remaining 4 had partial relief. Supplements for treating neuropathy. Researchers have tested the effects of the following supplements, all of which are subjects of further research to determine whether they work, in what dosages, and for whom. The verdicts are not yet in on them as treatments for nerve damage, so I'm listing them here not as a recommendation, but simply to make you aware of them. Alpha-lipoic acid appears to improve neuropathy symptoms. It is a strong antioxidant and may also improve circulation. Studies have used both intravenous and oral doses, but optimal dosages are not yet established. Gamma-linolenic acid is an omega-6 fatty acid commonly sold in health food stores. At doses of 480 milligrams per day, it appears to reduce neuropathy symptoms. Carnitine, in doses of 1,000 milligrams daily, reduced pain in patients with diabetic neuropathy. Magnesium supplements, in doses of 300 milligrams per day, appear to slow the progression of neuropathy over the long term. If you have nerve damage, if the nerves of your feet have been damaged, it is important that you get regular checkups and protect your feet. If you have lost some feeling, check your feet daily for any signs of injury or infection, such as redness or swelling, and have it treated right away. Avoid walking barefoot. If you have lost some feeling in your feet, you may not know if you step on something that breaks the skin. Be sure your shoes fit properly to avoid blisters, and break in new shoes slowly. Keep your nails in good shape and do not trim them shorter than the ends of your toes. If your vision is poor or you have difficulty safely trimming your nails, have a podiatrist examine your feet and trim your nails. Healthy eyes. Your eyes are delicate cameras that capture the world around you, transmitting its details to your brain to perceive and remember. In the same way that a camera is fragile, several parts of the eye are susceptible to damage. This is true for anyone, but especially for people with diabetes. Protecting your eyes means keeping your blood glucose, blood pressure, and cholesterol under control. 3 parts of the eye are particularly vulnerable. First, pressure can build up in the front part of the eye, called the anterior chamber, and eventually damage the retina and optic nerve. This is a condition called glaucoma. Second, a cataract can compromise the lens's clarity. Third, blood vessels in the retina can become damaged. Let's look at what we can do to prevent this 3-pronged assault. Glaucoma. There are several different types of glaucoma. Typically, increasing pressure within the eye pinches the tiny blood vessels in the retina, damaging it and the optic nerve. High blood pressure and high glucose levels both increase your risk of developing glaucoma. Your best defense is to get both under control using the information in this chapter and the rest of this book. If glaucoma is caught early, treatment with prescription eye drops is highly effective. Glaucoma can begin with no symptoms at all, so it is important to have eye examinations by an ophthalmologist at least once a year. Cataracts. If the lens of the eye loses its clarity, becoming more like waxed paper than like a crystalline pane of glass, a doctor diagnoses a cataract. You may experience blurred or double vision, difficulty with distance vision, a halo effect around lights, or excessive glare in bright sunlight or while driving at night. While cataract surgery has advanced dramatically in recent years, the ideal situation is to keep your original equipment in good working order. Luckily, there are several things you can do to help prevent cataracts. First, It is important to avoid tobacco and to protect your eyes from harsh sunlight. Second, it pays to follow the same diet steps that apply to controlling diabetes in general, as described in Chapter 4. That means avoiding animal products, keeping oils to a minimum, and favoring low GI foods. There is evidence that these steps reduce your risk. Specifically, people who avoid fatty foods tend to have less cataract risk. The same appears to be true for people who avoid dairy products. Generally speaking, people who steer clear of dairy products appear to have significantly less risk of developing cataracts. The culprit here appears to be lactose, or milk sugar, rather than milk fat. During the digestive process, lactose releases a simple sugar called galactose, which can enter the lens. Infants who lack the enzymes necessary to break down galactose develop cataracts within the first year of life. The relationship between dairy products and cataracts is still being studied, but this is one more good reason to avoid them. Certain foods help protect the eyes. Particularly valuable are green leafy vegetables such as broccoli, spinach, kale, collards, and mustard greens. These are rich sources of certain antioxidants called lutein and zeaxanthin, which protect the lens. Foods rich in vitamin C and E may help too. You will find plenty of vitamin C in oranges, bell peppers, cantaloupe, strawberries, and kiwi fruit. It also shows up in places you may not expect. Cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, and kale, as well as tomatoes and sweet potatoes. Healthy sources of vitamin E include cooked spinach, soy milk, mangoes, wheat germ, and, of course, most multivitamins. Finally, people who avoid alcohol have about 10% less cataract risk than other people. Even very modest consumption, about 2 drinks per week, is linked to increased risk. Retinopathy. The retina, located at the back of your eye, is like camera film. Millions of tiny nerves in the retina pick up images and send them to the brain. Also like film, your retinas are fragile. They can be damaged by elevated blood glucose, blood pressure, or cholesterol, leading to a condition called retinopathy, meaning damage to the retina. The condition occurs in two main forms. Non-proliferative retinopathy occurs when capillaries balloon out and leak substances into the retina, leading to the formation of fatty deposits. In most cases, the condition is mild and needs no treatment, but it is essential that an ophthalmologist check your eyes regularly to be sure the condition does not become more serious. Proliferative retinopathy occurs when blood vessels are so damaged that they begin to close off. When that happens, new, abnormal vessels start to form in the retina. The new vessels are fragile and prone to bleeding, leading to scarring, and sometimes even to retinal detachment. Ophthalmologists use laser treatments to treat the abnormal vessels. Most people with diabetes eventually develop at least a mild degree of retinopathy. The good news is that there is a lot you can do to prevent serious problems. Good blood glucose control protects the eyes, and by now you know how to go about attaining that. Keeping blood pressure and cholesterol down helps too. The diet steps we've discussed will go a long way toward helping you reach that goal. If diet alone is insufficient, your doctor will add medications as needed. Retinopathy begins without symptoms, so it is essential to have your eyes checked regularly and to choose your foods as if your vision depended on it. It does. Healthy kidneys. Your kidneys are made up of millions of tiny filtration units. They purify your blood, sending waste products out into the urine and holding onto proteins and other normal blood components. But just as the retina's tiny blood vessels can be damaged, so can these tiny vessels in your kidneys. High blood pressure, high blood glucose, and high cholesterol assault them, leading to a condition doctors call nephropathy. Left uncontrolled, kidney damage can progress to the point where your options boil down to dialysis or kidney transplant, Needless to say, you do not want anything like that to happen. Here are the diet steps you need to take. First, follow the basic diet guidelines for diabetes as described in Chapter 4. The need is not just for avoiding fat and cholesterol and keeping your blood glucose and cholesterol down, although those are very important. Animal protein is part of the problem too, so you want to avoid it. Since animal protein taxes the kidneys, getting your protein from plant sources helps protect them. This is an important point, so stick with me while I explain. Many people imagine that egg white, chicken breast, or haddock are healthful foods because they are high in protein, but that very fact is what makes them undesirable. The less animal protein you consume, the lower your risk of kidney problems. You are much safer getting your protein from plant sources, beans, vegetables, and grains, for example. A low-fat, vegan diet is not only free of animal protein, cholesterol, and animal fat, it also helps bring down high blood pressure, which is also important for protecting your kidneys. It goes without saying that you should avoid tobacco. Among its many ill effects, smoking damages blood vessels. If your blood pressure, glucose, or cholesterol remain high despite your best efforts, your doctor will prescribe medications to bring them under control. Some doctors prescribe medications even if your tests are in the normal range as a means of protecting kidney tissues. This is done on an individualized basis. In our recent study, we tracked the kidney health of our participants. They dutifully collected their urine twice over two 24-hour periods so we could measure their albumin losses. Your doctor will probably use less arduous tests. They did this before beginning their assigned new diets and again after following them for 22 weeks. During this time, the group following the American Diabetes Association diet had a 21% average drop in albumin losses. That's a change in the right direction. However, the vegan group had the advantage of consuming no animal protein, animal fat, or cholesterol, and its average albumin losses were 56%, falling to less than half of their beginning values. Getting healthy and staying that way. If you have been gaining weight, needing more and more medications, or developing one or many complications, my goal is to help you change course. We now know that it is possible to lose weight effectively and permanently, reduce or eliminate medications, reverse heart disease, and even improve the symptoms of neuropathy. If you thought you had to surrender to advancing symptoms, think again. You are now in the driver's seat.